Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Mara Rubin, and Israel says they attacked Gaza's main hospital because Hamas commanders were using it as their headquarters. WHO Chief Tedros Ghebreyesus.
Nowhere and no one is safe.
CBS's Willie James Iman.
A mass exodus in Gaza Friday as Palestinians headed south, away from fighting in the north. This man, injured and in a wheelchair, breaks down from exhaustion. He says this is not a life. Most of these Palestinians were already displaced, sheltering at hospitals, assuming they'd be safe. But overnight, Gaza's main hospital reported several strikes. The Hamas-run health ministry blames Israel. Israel blames militants, but added Hamas is using the hospital as cover, its main command center underneath.
CBS News confirms the FBI seized New York Mayor Eric Adams' iPhones after feds searched the home of his top campaign fundraiser. WCBS TV's Marcia Kramer reports.
The mayor issued his own statement saying, quote, "As a former member of law enforcement, I expect all members of my staff to follow the law and fully cooperate with any sort of investigation. And I will continue to do exactly that. I have nothing to hide." When the mayor was asked why he blew up a meeting at the White House on the migrant problem, he had this to say.
"I was concerned about a young 25-year-old staffer that went through a traumatic experience. And although I'm mayor, I have not stopped being a man."
Michigan football's Jim Harbaugh has been banned from the sidelines for the rest of the season. CBS's Errol Barnett.
The suspension comes after a former Michigan staffer allegedly ran an in-person scouting operation where he sent friends to steal opponents' play-calling signals ahead of games. Do you think this merely amounts to a slap on the wrist?
It's a slap on the wrist, and it's more of a public consumption. It's embarrassing to Michigan.
The conference says it was a violation of bylaws which prohibit off-campus in-person scouting of future opponents, as well as unsportsmanlike or unethical conduct.
SAG-AFTRA's board approved the strike-ending contract on Friday. Union leader Duncan Crabtree Ireland.
We'll have increased pension and health caps that will channel more value into our benefit plans and funds. And we have critical new protections that are put in place for diverse communities.
It's Veterans Day, and later today at Arlington National Cemetery at the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, a wreath will be laid at the tomb of the unknown soldier. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America.
I joined the Navy to serve my country as a Navy SEAL. While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. I broke my neck. It left me paralyzed. Paralyzed Veterans of America was by my side from that moment on.
Since 1946, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to our wounded veterans. We will never leave a fallen comrade behind.
Thanks to PVA, paralyzed veterans are getting specialized medical care and treatments. The benefits they've earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need.
I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
To learn more, go to PVA.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy today with a chance for scattered showers. High of 43. South winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for scattered showers again tonight, 36. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 34.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Thank you, Don. Welcome back to Up North News Radio for a Friday. It's November 10th. Craig Bach is here in Waukesha as well. Coming up this hour, we'll talk about Wausau's Woman of Action. Mayor Katie Rosenberg is getting public acclaim from the Biden administration for how quickly and successfully the city tackled the problem of dealing with PFAS in the drinking water. We will visit with Jimmy Koska, who will take us through tonight's state football semifinal matches. We'll talk to Mark Jacob about media coverage of election night in several states around the country this week. Dan Schumacher with more about sports as well. First, a reminder that if you missed our last hour or want to listen back to any of our episodes, there's an app for that. Go to the Civic Media, go to wherever you get your apps, get the Civic Media app. You can tune in to all of the different stations, listen to all the different shows, call or text to interact with the show. And you can also go to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, and you can listen back to single episodes. Unless you subscribed by a podcast, then go to Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, and listen to Up North News Radio and all the Civic Media shows there. So many ways to catch us. Greg, you mentioned that you've got things happening at the Comedy Club this weekend, but I didn't ask if you were doing anything, you know, like getting ready for, you're doing your Christmas shopping, raking leaves. What's on your honey-do list?
Oh, my honey-do, let's see. Well, I got a new table saw, new to me table saw. A friend of mine gave me one. So I got when we bought the house last year, it came with a play set in the back that I was like, oh yeah, our friends can come over and the kids can play and we can sit out and have cocktails. And then I went over to the play set and I touched it. I'm like, no child is ever going near this. So I'm taking it apart and I'm going to saw the wood down and throw it all out because it's rotten wood. And so I'm going to do that. And then I'm going to try to enjoy my Sunday because it's been a long week and I want to relax. My wife and I have differing schedules. So Saturdays and Sundays are our time to hang out and connect.
Good. I hope you get to use a lot of that.
Heck yeah. What about you, Pat?
I don't know.
That's the best.
Well, part of it is dependent upon, where Sherry works at the hospital. Yeah. There, they have, what we call them temps, you know, temporaries that come in. They call them locums for, substitute physicians. Yeah. And there's a reason why that we need, or they need substitutes to come in. But the thing about substitutes or temps or locums is sometimes they say they're going to start on this day.
Yeah.
And then you hear from them the day before. It's like, I got a better offer from this other place. So theoretically, she's off for the weekend. But
you never know.
You just never know in this business that she's in.
How long has your wife been a doctor now?
Well, let's see. She graduated the Medical College of Wisconsin down there in 1991.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Both our daughters were born when we were there from 87 to 91. So we're coming up on, 32 years as a doctor. Okay. And early on, we always would get a laugh when she'd say, she'd go into an exam room and, somebody would say, are you the nurse? You're too young to be the doctor.
Yeah.
But I don't think I mentioned this yesterday, but I had my annual eye exam Wednesday with a new doctor, and that's exactly what I thought. I thought, is she too young to be a doctor? And a little voice in my head said, oh, no, we're here now.
Whenever I see anybody in scrubs now, I just say, are you a doctor? Because I feel like anything else would be like
an insult.
If you insult a doctor, they're like, I'm a doctor. So I'm just like, hey, are you a doctor? We're like, no, I'm a high school student. Just took my sister's scrubs. That's
I never understand why more people don't wear scrubs all the time.
So comfy.
I mean, you don't have to worry about fashion at all. Mm-hmm. This is what we're wearing today.
Yep.
That's funny. Yeah. Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg is getting some well-deserved attention. And because I know her, I know she's sharing that credit with everybody else who deserves it for the way that they have quickly dealt with water quality issues. There was a story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel by Laura Schult. Is it Schult or Schulte? I've got to meet her and find out. But she always writes great stories and talked about how Tom Perez, a senior advisor to President Biden, visited Wausau yesterday to see a new water treatment facility and watch as a family turned on their water for the first time after having all their lead pipes removed. Rosenberg has spent years aggressively seeking federal and state funding and grants to help finance the replacement of those lead laterals and install a nearly $17 million treatment plant. Tom Perez said, up there, I really think that mayors across not just Wisconsin, but across the country are going to be calling the mayor of Wausau to ask how she did this and how they can copy you, which is interesting because that will now be the second time that that's happened. The first time was when she brought in goats to trim the buckthorn and other weeds in some city parks, and other cities were calling and saying, how does that work and is it working? And now they're going to talk about how she helped tackle the water issue. She posted on Facebook that after the last 2 years of grappling with PFAS and finally getting our temporary fix online while constructing our permanent granular activated carbon system, it was truly an honor to introduce Director Perez to Wausau and show the investments our community has made in its water. But that's not the only good news story coming out of Wausau, as Mayor Rosenberg noted in a social media post that while Tom Perez was there, part of the Office of Intergovernmental Affairs, he was part of an event to thank and acknowledge the service of Hmong Lao veterans and recognize the contributions of our Hmong neighbors to the community and to the nation. The mayor wrote that as we lined up awaiting Director Perez's arrival, the foyer was filled with anticipation and pride. These veterans, many of whom started their service as 14-year-olds during the secret war in Laos, have rarely, if ever, heard a thank you from the White House. Despite them working alongside the CIA during the war in Vietnam, despite them never being allowed back to their homes in Laos because of their work on behalf of the U.S., and despite their scars from war being deep and complicated, many have never received veteran status, GI benefits, or even until today, a thank you on behalf of the nation. It was an extremely impactful ceremony, and she goes on to thank many folks, including the Hmong American Center and the Wisconsin United Coalition of Mutual Assistance Association, and of course, Tom Perez from the White House. A very apt way to thank those veterans and all veterans as we approach Veterans Day coming up this weekend. It's 7:13 right now, and we'll have the updated weather forecast from Weatherology just a little over a minute away. First, we'll tell you that in sports on this Friday, Giannis Antetokounmpo scored an NBA season-high 54 points, but he also committed two turnovers in the final 90 seconds of the game. The Indiana Pacers rallied late to beat the Milwaukee Bucks 126-124 last night. They will be playing tomorrow night in Orlando. The Green Bay Packers are at Pittsburgh Sunday at noon. You can catch the Packer game on WRCO-FM, radio from the center in Richland Center, WRJN AM and FM in Racine, and 98Q Country WCQM in Park Falls. The Badger football team is at Camp Randall Stadium to take on Northwestern tomorrow afternoon at 2:30. And there are several civic media stations that have the Badger football game, including WRCE News from the Center, WLAK Lake Air in Amory, WRJN in Racine, and locally grown radio WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. 7 a.m. temperatures across the state, 35 degrees up here in Lake Wissota. Hayward is at 33. Park Falls is at 32. Mosinee is reporting 34 at the Central Wisconsin Airport. Green Bay, 35. La Crosse is at 39 degrees. Wisconsin Rapids, 36. Oshkosh, 35. Madison, 33. And in Waukesha right now, it is 32 degrees. So not the low 50s that we had on Monday, which was rather unique and unseasonable, but there may be a bit of a warm-up ahead somewhere near the tail end of this weekend. And for all the details, we'll turn to meteorologist Jennifer Wyszycki from Weatherology to tell us more. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, and you're right. We are looking at a warm-up coming in for the weekend, particularly once we get to the end of the weekend, Sunday, and into the start of the work week ahead. Today is really going to be kind of our coolest day for this forecast. Looks like cloudy or becoming mostly cloudy for all today. A cooler day as that cold front pushes through the state. Mid to low 40s from Wisconsin Rapids southward, upper 30s from Wausau over towards west central Wisconsin, with a few spotty flurries early on this morning there. For the weekend, Saturday, a warm front starts to push through, slightly warmer for all tomorrow. Highs linger in the 40s for everyone. Sunshine expected from Oshkosh down to Madison and over towards Milwaukee. Partial sunshine for everyone else, and it looks like a slight chance for some rain and snow mixing early in the afternoon hours around Wausau, Amory, and Baldwin, then becoming more of a slight chance for some rain as those temperatures get closer to 40. Sunday looks like sunny or becoming sunny for all, a little warmer overall as well, mid-50s to right around about 50 degrees for everyone. Then to start out the work week Monday, a similar forecast, sunny skies for all, mid to low 50s expected, a few warmer spots getting into the upper 50s around Richland Center and around Milwaukee.
Good information to have as we do our weekend planning, Jennifer. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
You too.
And we get that weatherology forecast throughout the day here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media. We are part of Courier Newsroom, and we are proud to be part of Civic Media for 2 hours every weekday morning. But I do like to tell you what else is happening around Civic Media's or around Courier Newsroom. And that would include some newsletters that are coming out. Mark Jacob, you'll hear from him in about 15 minutes or so. He has a weekly newsletter called Stop the Presses about some of the weaknesses in American journalism and how to deal with right-wing extremism that's always trying to work the press. You heard from Kia Vakil in our last hour. He has a biweekly newsletter called Frontlines. Carolyn Fiddler has a must-read newsletter called State House Action. It's got all the latest insider news from state capitals across the country. And Kyle Tharp has, for what it's worth, a weekly newsletter that breaks down digital spending, strategy, tactics, trends in elections, not just candidates, but PACs and other advocacy groups. Where are they advertising? Where are they putting their messages? And if you say, hey, it's a year before the election, it's that, no, man, it's too early. It most definitely is not. You saw what some of the polling numbers looked like recently, and we're in election season pretty much full time. We may not like it, but if you want your friends and neighbors to understand what's going on in the news and in the issues, then we need programs like this to counter some of the information or misinformation that you're going to hear elsewhere. Let's pause in a little over 60 seconds or so, and I'm going to send a link over to Jimmy Koska so he can come join us and talk about the state semifinals for the high school football playoffs. Back after this, you're up north.
What if your next breath is your last breath? Jesus said that no one is good except God alone. Paul wrote that no one is righteous, not even one. Isaiah says we all, like sheep, have gone astray. At First Baptist Church of Wisconsin Rapids, we believe there is hope of life after death in Christ alone. Historic faith, prayer, fellowship, virtue, the preaching of the word. Visit firstbaptistwr.com.
Teachers, learners, schools, and communities have never faced more challenges than they do in 2023. Is education a matter of national security? Major elections, artificial intelligence, educator shortages, these issues have serious implications. Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci break it down every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. for you and your neighbor. Busted Pencils on the Civic Media Network.
Find previous shows and more at civicmedia.us.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
It's going to be a big, busy night for some high school football teams. Jimmy Koska is going to tell us about that and more during our little visit. Jimmy, good morning.
Morning. How are you?
Very good, thanks. So this is, what is this? Is this level four? Time flies.
Yeah, the high school football season flies by. It's crazy. I mean, the team I coach, we played only 9 weeks, and it felt like, wow, we just started practice. We just handed out equipment yesterday. But right. For playoff teams, yeah, there's 5 weeks of postseason. Hard to believe there's only 15 games left in the entire season for high school football.
Yeah, I mean, and the eight-man, that championship is this weekend, right?
Yeah, tomorrow in Wisconsin Rapids, Thorpe will take on Florence. I have one of my good friends, Keldrick Stokes, is the head coach of the Thorpe Cardinals. Just a few years ago, they were, like the team I coach, not able to win a game. So it is great to see that they've built a program in eight-player football and play for that championship tomorrow.
All right. Well, why don't you walk us through some of the matchups for tonight so that we get a feel for who might be at Camp Randall next weekend?
For sure. You know, small school-wise, Division 7, where I'll start. Blackhawk Warren in Reidsville is a rematch of a Level 3 game from just a couple of years ago when Reidsville went on to win the state championship. I think that one's fascinating because it's two teams that are kind of your prototypical small school pound-the-ball kind of offenses. And on the other side of the bracket, Bangor and Edgar are a lot like that. The Division 7 field, I think, is exciting for football purists because that's the kind of football that wins in November. Typically, weather's a lot worse.
Yep.
But the weather's supposed to be pretty good this week. With today it's supposed to be cooler, but this time of year you can have, you know, literally any kind of weather. You know, snow and everything else that happens. So,
And I mentioned previously that Reidsville in Manitowoc County, a little farming community, is where my wife's from. So this show is unapologetically saying go Panthers tonight.
It's a great setup, too, where they play. They play in that park kind of south of the school campus, and there's the pine trees. You know, it's your real classic Wisconsin sports setting. So
very much so, yes.
It's really cool. In Division 6, you get your traditional state powers like Darlington and Stratford. They're still in the field. They're respectively playing Kewaunee and Grantsburg. Your small schools tend to be a lot more run-heavy. That's certainly the case there. Division 5 and a few of these middle divisions have the Cinderella stories. So in Division 5, for example, Horicon Hustisford, they're actually all the way to Level 4. It's actually a team that I got to see this year at a scrimmage, so I actually know a little bit about them. But the only number one seed remaining in Division 5 is Aquinas, which is in La Crosse. Otherwise, you have a 3-seed, a 3-seed, and a 5-seed in St. Croix Falls, all still going. When you talk about smaller schools, again, in the case of a school like St. Croix Falls, or really any small school, a lot of these teams have a lot of multi-sport athletes, and St. Croix Falls is a program that has a great wrestling tradition. They seem to be at state just about every year in wrestling, so that's certainly a cool story there when you have to play basically on the road the entire way and then make it to a state semifinal. I think that's always pretty neat. Division 4 has, again, it's another division with just one top seed remaining, and that is Lodi. They play Baldwin-Woodville in west central Wisconsin. The other side, Catholic Memorial, plays Luxembourg-Casco. Catholic Memorial, Pat, draws some of that ire from people who wonder why a school like Catholic Memorial is hanging around in Division 4,
yeah.
Because it is in Waukesha, where there's a much larger pool of people to come from. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the schools that really sets off that public school versus private school debate that many have in high mm-hmm. school sports.
Yep.
But they're in the field and they're once again playing for a way to get back to
Canberra. They're there, but I remember when you had the WIAA tournament, but then you also had the WISA tournament, for the private schools, and it's not that way anymore. So yeah, we get this debate all the time. Before you move on with the brackets, I want to ask, as I'm looking at the brackets, like Baldwin-Woodville versus Lodi, they're playing in Arcadia at 7 o'clock, and then Catholic Memorial and Luxembourg Casco, they're playing in Kewaskum at 7 o'clock. And I always wonder how much of a turnout you get from the locations where the games are being played. I mean, I'm sure it's 90% people being bussed in from the various places, but if you're down there in Arcadia, I wonder if more than two or three people wander in and say, hey, this is a big game, let's go watch it.
I actually just asked this question this week. The head coach at Arcadia is Derek Updike. He's a basketball alum. So I actually talked to him a little bit about, hey, you get to host a game. You're not in it, but you get to host a playoff event. And I think it does draw a few people out. A lot of the schools that build these facilities that are capable of hosting sectional level games, they build the facilities with in mind that they might be bringing in people from the area. I know in referendum projects, for example, when they build a facility, a gym, a field, whatever it is, the idea is that the community can come out and see some of these higher level games. So like you, I think that, yeah, a lot of the people are there to see one team or the other. But I got to imagine when you put in these multi-million dollar turf facilities that people are going to be interested to see, you know, a state semifinal right on your home field.
Yeah, very nice. All right. Well, that takes us up to Division III now.
Yes, Division III. This is an interesting and very fun bracket because you've got the lowest seed in the entire state that's made it this far in Stoughton. They'll play a 4 seed in Grafton. Stoughton is a 7 seed. And this kind of reminds me of 2016, Monona Grove in 2016 behind Alec Ogden, who's now a standout quarterback at UW-Whitewater, led Monona Grove. They played every single game on the road before getting to state and taking home the silver ball. One of those stops happened to be Waukesha West. Well, Stoughton and Grafton play in Waukesha West. Wow. So I see some parallels to that. I thought it was really interesting. On the other side of that is a matchup we've actually seen at state before. Rice Lake plays Notre Dame, not Notre Dame the college, Notre Dame the high school near Green Bay, and that game's being played at Marshfield. That has been that's been a state matchup, and that's a really cool matchup, I think, for fans that are in that part of the state. If you're not coming from the far north and from the east, coming all the way over, for people in in Marshfield or that area, that's a state championship level matchup. So I think that's a really exciting thing. You mentioned people like in an area going to see a game that maybe not are affiliated with either team. I think for people in that area, that's certainly one to watch.
Around Marshfield? Definitely expect that. All right. How's Division II?
Division II has a couple of teams very familiar to this process in the Dane County area. Wanakee is playing Kakana, a matchup of top seed. Sun Prairie East and Badger go in the other one. The interesting thing with Sun Prairie East, of course, as you know, and I think many people know, Sun Prairie was one high school up until a couple of years ago. Now it's split into East and West. To see East, playing for another trip to state so quickly after splitting a couple of years ago in that high school, I think is really remarkable. D1 is your matchup of really, really familiar programs. Kimberly Marquette on one side, Hamilton and Franklin on the other. Kimberly and Franklin, of course, have won state titles recently. The Final Four in Division I is absolutely loaded once again. It's been a fun bracket so far in D1. So those are your matchups. Those are the 15 games remaining in high school football. Obviously, the 7 championship games next week at Camp Randall Thursday.
I was going to say, now, how does that work at Camp Randall? So it's Thursday and Friday?
Yep. So Thursday starts at 10 in the morning. It goes 10, 1, 4, and 7 for the games, divisions 7 through 4. And then Friday, 10, 1, and 4, divisions 3 through 1. So it's pretty cool if you get in there for multiple games. Hopefully, as it's looking, the weather next week is supposed to be amazing. Camp Randall can be a real miserable time when it's
30. That's what I was going to close with, is it's always a wild card, Camp Randall in November.
Yeah, next week, a lot of the weather forecasts that I saw in the news last night said next week we're going to be in the 60s. That's perfect weather. Whether it's November or anytime, 60 is great football weather.
Absolutely is. Jimmy Koska, thank you so much for the rundown. I hope folks who are either supporters of those teams or in those areas have a nice time this evening. Have a great weekend.
Pat, I appreciate it. Take care, man.
All righty. When we come back, we're going to have Mark Jacob in. It's been a big week for elections around the country and certainly other news highlights as well. How about Joe Manchin retiring from the U.S. Senate and maybe an independent candidate for president? Pardon me while I go roll my eyes. We'll be back. You're up north.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR. Wisconsin Rapids.
The D3.
D3 right of the circle. Badgers take the lead.
The throwdown.
Down the lane and sends it in and won.
The thrilling victories.
Badgers win it. Oh, did they dig in defensively tonight?
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Fakes the three, sidesteps left for three in the lead. He hit it.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Drives the lane, draw and kick, right corner, three. Got it again.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news talk and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
Please join the leadership team from Coldwell Banker Seward Realtors and tune in to Let's Talk Real Estate. Our next show is coming up and we'll be talking about those things that are important to you, whether you're a buyer or seller. So please tune in on Tuesday afternoons at 3:30, where we'll be highlighting all things real estate.
Coldwell Banker Seward Realtors is your trusted source for real estate solutions. Tuesday afternoon at 3:30, right here on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Brittany, how many barometers do you own? It's a meteorologist thing.
Tell us the truth.
I've got four in my house right now.
That's not terrible.
I scaled down.
How many did you used to have?
I give them as gifts now.
Are you re-gifting me a barometer, Brittany?
We're down to four. That sounds manageable.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Smiles are powerful. They spread joy, laughter, and hope. But not everyone gets a fair chance at a smile. Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk, hear, eat, and even breathe. In America, most children with clefts receive immediate care, but others around the world may never have access to the surgery they need to thrive. Smile Train is changing that. As the world's largest cleft charity, our sustainable model has sponsored more than 1.5 million smiles. We offer training and financial support to local medical professionals so they can provide life-changing surgery and other essential services at no cost to families.
It's more than to see these children, to hear the difference that we make. And for me, being born with a cleft lip and palate, knowing what they went through is so life-changing for me.
Help us change the world one smile at a time. To learn more, visit smiletrain.org/learn.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy today with a chance for scattered showers. High of 43. South winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for scattered showers again tonight, 36. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 34.
See, you got your eye on this old cowboy, and I can tell you
7:34 on this Friday. Mark Jacob is with us now as we talk about some of the events of the week here, and the, I guess, big news that West Virginia Democratic Senator Joe Manchin is going to be not seeking re-election and retiring. Mark, I think I got all that right, except I used the word Democratic, and I'm not sure that was factually accurate.
Yeah, I mean, we people who are, you know, more left of center or slightly left, which is what I would call myself, I suppose, had real problems with Joe Manchin. And we didn't, because him declaring as a Democrat, you know, meant for a couple years was the reason why the Democrats controlled the Senate. You know, so you couldn't, like, it wasn't a bad thing. It was actually a very good thing. But Manchin himself was just a disaster. I mean, he was, in effect, he let the Democrats control the Senate, and then he was made sure they couldn't pass good legislation. You know, I mean, he's responsible for a lot of bad things. The thing that miffs me the most is how he helped block the renewal of the child tax credit, the expansion of it.
Yeah, and, I mean, I think that will be his legacy, much like what's his name, Joe Lieberman was in blocking the public option.
You know, I mean, Joe Manchin put a couple million children back into poverty. I mean, that's what he did. I mean, this guy, Mr. Yacht, did that. And he also, you know, another thing he's terrible on is climate change. I mean, he's disastrous on climate change, mm-hmm. and he's blocked stuff there too. So it's kind of, thanks for, you know, letting us have the Senate for a few years, but good riddance. He's just a terrible guy. And this speculation that he's going to be some sort of fantastic, you know, presidential candidate, I think, is ridiculous, too.
Yeah, the rumors that he and Mitt Romney might make up some kind of a ticket. And again, you mentioned during the break, a lot of us who follow politics closely understand these guys. But
honestly, the number of people who know more than Joe Manchin is a senator, you know, if even that, right. He's got nothing to build off of except maybe a lot of money from an independent group that wants to, you know, play in this race.
Yeah, but you know, I'm even skeptical about whether he would hurt Biden more than Trump. I mean, and that's the what people are speculating, and the polling's been really, it's been, you know, it's conflicted. There's, you know, sometimes some have said that he would make a difference, some have said he wouldn't. But he's, to me, he's like, he's a very conservative Democrat, and where's he going to shave votes off from? He's not going to get, you know, black votes, I don't think. He's a pretty much conservative from West Virginia. Mm-hmm. So where is that going to come from? How is he going to take those away from Biden? I just don't know what. I just think that he might end up being, if he runs as the no labels guy, he might end up being someone who conservatives could say, well, he's not Trump, but he's a conservative. So I mean, I am completely unconvinced that he would hurt Biden more than he would hurt Trump.
All right. Mark Jacob is with us here. And as we're talking about goings on in elections all around the area, I think a lot of the media outlets nailed it pretty well. Well, the broadcast ones, in saying that it was a good week for Biden and it was a bad week for Republicans, but it didn't take much for them and for the print media to revert to the norm of basically, and I'm not even really exaggerating when they say it was a good week for Biden. Here's why that's bad for Biden.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, Democrats doing well, Biden's not. And the thing about it, and this drives me crazy, is they just cling to the polls so desperately. And so there was a bad poll about Biden in swing states. Okay, here we are, a year away from the election. I just went and checked, you know, like this time in 2015, and Ben Carson was beating Trump. So, all right. So what does it really mean? Yet the news media tends to just pound that news rather than pounding the actual election that happened on Tuesday. And when you look at it, you know what the margin of error is on that election, Pat? Zero. It's not like, well, we're not sure whether the poll was conducted right or we got to the right people. It's an election. People registered to vote. They went and voted. We counted the ballots. That's what we should be talking about. And it just drives me crazy when they've got to kind of do this kind of savvy, well, you know, good news for the Democrats, bad news for Biden. Well, the Democrats won by running on the same issues that Biden's going to be running on next year. So it's just punditry to me.
Oh, yeah. And I also wonder, when you talk about there's only, you know, finite resources for newsrooms, and we talked about this with Kia last hour as well, that, you know, every you know, hour of time spent covering the horse race is an hour where you're not covering the issues. And in my case, thinking about this week, one of the things that seems to me to be grossly undercovered was the voting problems in the state of Mississippi. You know, the one place where a Republican did well this week was also the place where in many black majority districts, they ran out of ballots again.
Right.
And have always had issues with state government not supporting them. And that to me is worthy of some reporting.
You know, and that's the thing. You just never, I don't remember ever in recent years hearing about them running out of ballots in a majority white district. In voting in this country. So why is that? It's because Republicans run elections in certain states. And in Mississippi, you know, that Presley guy, the candidate, the relative of Elvis Presley who ran as a Democrat, did pretty well, lost, but came within, 5 or 6 percentage points last time I looked at it. And, you know, which is pretty good in Mississippi. I mean, some of these states in the South especially that have been historically trying to suppress the black vote, they're succeeding at that effort less and less as time goes on, because black voters and progressive voters who are white are getting more savvy and fighting harder and seeing that they're close enough to possibly make a difference. And they're not, it's not futile to them. And so they're fighting it. You know, that's what, if you look at the story of Georgia in the last, 5 or 10 years, that's what that is. That's a population that has been put down for centuries coming back and deciding that it can have political power if it works hard enough. And so Mississippi is like that too. But, you know, how many times do you have to see these 4-hour long, you know, waits to vote and, oh, we ran out of ballots? I mean, that's unconscionable in this country. And the only reason for it is that Republicans don't want people to vote.
And you also had, of course, the I'll call it interference from the U.S. Supreme Court in its assaults on the Voting Rights Act.
Right.
And basically, you know, Chief Justice John Roberts saying, you know, well, everything is cured. You know, racism has been cured and we don't need these protections when the examples keep piling up of, you know, what appear to be abuses or at least some, you know, shenanigans after protections from the Voting Rights Act were pulled back.
Right. I mean, and ironically, the same Supreme Court that declared that, well, you know, the voting problems that the Voting Rights Act was supposed to address have been solved. And that's what John Roberts said. He says it's just not needed anymore because everything's good now. That's the same Supreme Court that just ruled that Alabama was gerrymandering its districts to dilute black power. I mean, the Supreme Court, thankfully, ordered that, you know, that another congressional district give black people a chance to have representation. And that's happening in many states in the South, Louisiana. I mean, it's just happening a lot that they're gerrymandering that. I come from Arkansas. I used to live there. And they took the middle of the state, the Little Rock, which is, has a lot of black voters, a lot of liberal voters. And they cut it in three pieces. They cut it in three pieces so that each of it could have, you know, be outweighed by the rural areas that are heavily Republican. This gerrymandering. I'm lecturing.
It sounds very familiar. Yeah, let's see. Sheboygan.
People about gerrymandering is kind of ridiculous of me. I understand that. Yeah. But that's what's happening, and that's why you need the Voting Rights Act, and that's why this problem is not solved. And Republicans really don't want a democracy in which everyone's got an equal vote.
But let's look at where the problem lies, and that is in the U.S. Supreme Court, a body that has the weakest ethics of all of the courts in the United States. And so Democrats in the U.S. Senate this week were hoping to advance the cause for a code of ethics for the U.S. Supreme Court, something that should not be partisan. And yet Republicans yesterday jammed it. I think they filed like 88 amendments to slow it down, which is essentially giving up the game when you're saying we will do whatever it takes to let these Supreme Court justices keep accepting billionaire gifts.
Right. And think about how ridiculous this is, that one of the most powerful bodies in the entire U.S. government, maybe the most powerful, is had, because they are the last word, really. They have no code of ethics. They have no accountability. They can do whatever they want, and they can take bribes. You know, it's okay. And why is that the case? I mean, it's absurd. And so we need ProPublica and other really good journalism outlets to find out that rich right wingers are paying money to our Supreme Court justices, and that they're not disclosing it on their disclosure forms. This disclosure process, Pat, is, you know, if they did it, it would be good. But they simply, people like Clarence Thomas have decided they don't have to report stuff, and then they get caught by ProPublica, and it's, you know, all right. So they sometimes will amend their report. Well, there's no accountability. There's no punishment for that. So they can hide stuff. Alito hit a trip that, you know, happened more than a decade ago. They're not, and you can't have an ethical government where the most powerful people are unaccountable.
You know what else was hidden, either, you know, however intentionally it was. You have the chair of one of the House committees investigating Hunter Biden and investigating Joe Biden for giving his brother a $200,000 loan and then having his brother repay it. And apparently that repayment is some kind of a gotcha. But the Daily Beast is now reporting that the committee chair, Congressman Comer, lent his brother $200,000 at one point, then the brother paid it back. So apparently it's, you know, a scandal for a scandal on thee, but not for me.
Yeah, well, that Comer guy is just such a clown. I mean, but he's a clown that Fox News takes seriously and pretends is serious. And oh, look what he's got. Oh, here's what we found now. And it's all just, and it's, you know, there's a reason why the New York Times, Washington Post, and various other legitimate news sources, criticize them if you want, but they are legitimate news sources and they are fact-based. There's a reason why they're not making a big deal about this. It's because it's BS. It's because it's not true. If you look at the facts, it's not. And Biden giving his brother a loan and getting it repaid is not a crime in this country. I mean, it's nor should it be. So them kind of trying to create all this dust is it's clearly political, and they're doing it. They know it's clearly that they're doing it because the former president of the United States has been indicted on 91 counts.
I think that, and that's where I think our last stop will be this week's debate, where once again, you've got media outlets depicting former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley as a moderate, as a reasonable alternative. That's not what she really is.
Oh, gosh. And, you know, she still won't criticize Trump. She still said, I mean, all these Republicans at this debate were saying, well, Trump was the right candidate at the right time in 2016, but he's not now. Well, you know, come on, let's be reality-based here and realize that Donald Trump hasn't changed in decades. He is the same scam artist, the same liar, the same crook as he's always been. And, I mean, this idea that, well, he was really good for the country, but he's not now, is absurd. And, you know, Nikki Haley still will not go direct and criticize Trump. And she still will not recognize the fact that he's been bad for this country because, well, she was one of the co-conspirators for part of his administration. This idea that she is the reasonable moderate is more of this, like, media desperation to create a moderate Republican Party when it doesn't exist anymore. I wish it did. You know, I mean, you know, I'm all for let's talk about the issues. If you're pro-abortion rights or anti-abortion rights, if you're for health care paid for by the government or not, we can all discuss all those things. But I'm not going to discuss with people whether we should actually have elections or not, or whether we should lie about who won the presidential election.
Should we jail our enemies the way Trump is promising to do here, and not for business fraud like he's committing? Mark Jacob, thank you so much. As always, appreciate the look at the week's headlines, and we'll talk again soon.
See you later.
All righty. Coming up next, we'll have Dan Schumacher from Up in Ashland as we tie a bow on this week for Up North News Radio for this Friday, November 10th.
See, it takes a special kind of woman to put up with the life of cowboy leads. Cause his boots are always muddy, and his beer drinking buddies, they'll camp out on your couch and never leave. Don't even start to think you're gone.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Time to play Grateful Dead Name That Tune with Dan Schumacher. What did Greg pick for us today, Dan?
I don't know. What did you pick for me, Greg?
That defeats the purpose of a quiz, but okay. This is a Broke Down Palace, the studio version off of American Beauty.
And this was written in 1972 when the Dead were on their Europe tour, when they were in England, and they wrote it. So they wrote it. He wrote it. Robert Hunter wrote it in his hotel room, and along with three other songs while they were on the road in Europe. And this was one of them.
Pat, I gotta tell you this. I knew I was gonna like Dan immediately. This man's amazing.
He is the inspiration for that New Yorker cartoon where everybody in the bar looks at this one guy in a dead t-shirt and says, "Oh no, he's heading for the jukebox again."
Well, luckily with a dead fan, they only go there like once or twice an hour. So it's
right. Yeah, you get your money's worth. You do get your money's
exactly.
worth.
Exactly.
You know, really?
It's a 10-minute song all the time.
You really and truly do. Yeah. Let's see. Oh, Tony writes in to us. It says, Ashland, driving by Northland College now. Beautiful campus, beautiful place. Thank you, Tony. Appreciate that very much. How's the week been there up north?
Rainy. I tell you what, it feels like I am in London where they wrote this song. It wasn't too bad yesterday. I'm back in Chippewa today.
Okay.
So it's nice and gray, as you know.
Yeah, yeah. That's okay.
It is what it is. I'll tell you what, though. To not have any snow up there and to be in the 50s next week, which is predicted, people are pretty happy up there.
Hey, and congratulations on your initiation to working and commuting up north, based on the photos I saw after you hit that deer. First time for everything?
Oh.
It happened so quick. I just, you know, I've always laughed, kind of made fun of people that hit deer. I'm like,
How could you let that happen? No, it happens. Yeah, it happens.
I mean, that deer, and it was right between Hayward and Spooner, where they don't cut back the trees to give you a little bit of notice when a thing jumps out. The trees are right on the road. That doe just jumped out, and I had nowhere else to go but to go through them.
You really learn to appreciate, you know, when you see some areas where the trees have been cut back and you think, oh, was that really necessary? But when you think of it from a deer standpoint, you know, a deer crash standpoint, you do really notice the difference between, you know, cutting back or not.
I got to believe the insurance companies are a big backer of that.
Oh, I would think so. Greg, you've hit deer in your time?
I've never hit a deer while I was driving, but when I was a kid, we were coming back from a vacation in Atlanta, and I remember being dead asleep and then not being asleep because we hit a deer dead on it, knocked the gorilla right off the car. And my dad was happy we were okay. The car was actually okay. He was really upset that the deer lived. He's like, what? It just gets to get up and go now?
They won the traffic lottery.
Yeah.
Dan, let's talk about your Bears who were playing last night. And I want to say they won ugly, but they would have won ugly or lost ugly because they were wearing those orange uniforms again. Pumpkins. The orange crush.
They're pumpkin heads. That's what I call them. They're pumpkin heads.
Just awful. But they did win. What was it? 16-13, I think was the
final. To be honest with you, I didn't want them to win. I wanted them to have, you know, because
You're going for draft picks now?
The draft pick. I'm already working on the draft pick right now. We'll go for another quarterback.
What did the stat I saw there, it's been 14 seasons since you had a quarterback start every game of the season or something like that?
Yes, we're cursed.
That's a long
time. But you know what
time.
I want to talk about, really?
What do you want to talk about, Dan?
My Chicago Cubs.
I'm sorry,
Dan. We're having technical difficulties here. We're losing your feed.
Yep. Oh, no.
Yeah, somewhere.
I want to know how that happened. How do you go to the Mets in Cleveland and then – you're all of a sudden the manager of the Cubs. I mean, how does that happen?
Cha-ching! We've talked about the why and the motivation and everything, but I want to come from your standpoint. When you first saw or heard the news, how shocked were you?
Big time. I was like, well, I can't say it on the radio, you know.
Thank you.
Dan's learning. All right.
No, I was completely – I just kept asking, how? How? Mm-hmm. What happened? How didn't the media know that he was talking to the Cubs? They knew he was at Cleveland. They knew he was with the Mets. Yeah. You know, how did not leak out? And how did it happen so fast and not leak out?
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good organization. And man, that's a tight-lipped one.
I mean, I told Pat that when one of our colleagues here at Pacific Media sent me a text while I was driving and said, council news, holy. And then I got home because I don't text and drive. I got home and I just looked up council. I'm like, all right, he's going to the Mets. I looked at it. It said council to go to Cubs, and I dropped my phone.
Yeah.
I was.
I almost did. Yeah.
Shocked.
Yep. So here. now that the news is, we've had to absorb it and everything, what do you think? Because again, it's Dave Ross who had to move. They had to move for him. I mean, is this actually a good move for the Cubs?
I guess if he wins, yes. I mean, it's proof is in the future of what happens. But I also don't like the fact that what they did to David Ross. I think that's heartless, man. To me, that's just completely heartless. And you know, he won the World Series for the Cubs. I mean, you know, he was a player. You know, and he's been a great manager. They're finally building a roster that he can win with, and then you turn around and dump him. So I don't know how much better Craig Counsell is as good a manager as David Ross is. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Now, you can look at the final results to say where he's finished each year. He's been in the playoffs. He's been competitive for the division. But, man, I'm in the world of sports, and I fire and hire a lot of people. And I thought that was heartless. I really did. I thought as a Cubs fan, you're a loyal fan. And yeah. I think some loyalty would have been good right there. And why do we need counsel? I don't understand why he's such a big deal.
That's a good way to put it, because again, he was a good fit for the Brewers. Hometown right. Kid, knows the team, and he could have tried to start over in Cleveland or New York and see if he really could make it. But to go down to your division rival down the road, and now folks, they're a little suspicious of, you know, is this guy going to work out or not? Just doesn't seem optimal, but again, I mean, that's why they play the games. We'll see how it goes next year.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Dan, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Have a great weekend, gentlemen.
All right, hope to see you around there. Greg, thank you so much. Hope you have a lot of fun at the Laughing Tap. All right.
Hey, I will be going to the Palace Theater tomorrow night to watch Dark Star Orchestra.
Nice.
Oh, yes, there you go.
I'll leave you on that note.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. And thanks to all of you for joining us throughout the week here. We'll be back at 6 a.m. Monday. Have a wonderful start to the weekend. Remember, you can follow me on socials. Look for Pat Kreitlow or Pat Kreitlow Up North and sign up for our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com.
When times get dark, we can't see the help that's all around us. Let 211 be your guiding light for help with food, healthcare, and other resources.
211, how can I help you?
Call 211 or visit 211.org. 211, get connected, get help.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it. The moon.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to James Help Seth Pick the Next Theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on Locally Grown Radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry, though. It'll be fine.
Yeah, all right. You got it.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 a.m. and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.